Listener Power 90.3 KEXP. It's the Midday Show. I'm Larry Rose. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm so excited to have Kamasi Washington and his band live here at KEXP. Welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Got a song for us to start out?
Yeah, we're going to do a song called Rerun.
All right. Take it away. Kamasi Washington live on KEXP. incredible. 90.3 FM KEXP, Kumasi, Washington, live here on KEXP. Thank you. That was amazing. Playing tonight at the Moore Theater, and the album is called The Epic. Would you like to introduce the band?
Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing band. You just heard right now, you heard Brandon Coleman, a.k.a. Professor Boogie, on keyboards. You heard Miles Mosley on bass. You heard Robert Miller, Bobby Boom Bap on drums, Tony Austin on drums as well.
Awesome.
And we're going to play another song that's going to feature Ryan Porter on trombone.
Nice.
Ricky Washington on soprano saxophone and Patrice Quinn on vocals.
Look forward to that. I want to ask you a few questions. How did you get started in music?
Well, basically, I was born one day, and now, you know, my dad, Ricky Washington,
is a musician,
so it was one of those things that kind of, I really was kind of born into it in a way.
And he played with Diana Ross and the Temptations and some other artists.
Yeah.
Wow, very cool. And then, did you go right into jazz, or were you into other genres back then?
I didn't really get into jazz till I was about 11 years old.
Okay.
And that's when I really got serious about music.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Before that, it was like a thing that you did. You know, it was just like, you know, it's like learning math.
You know, sure.
It was, or like, yeah, it was like a thing that I did. I played around with, but
sure. And then, so after high school or around high school, you met up with Snoop Dogg. Is that right?
After high school, yeah, I started touring with Snoop and the Snoopadelics.
That's awesome.
I was a Snoopadelic.
Cool. And then, did you actually record with him then?
Yeah, I played on some of his records. We went on tour. It was my first time, like, really traveling around the country and the world. And, you know, I was a young man, and it was a wild time,
to
say the least.
Yeah. And how did this the current band come together?
We all grew up together. Wow. I've known all these dudes. It's a long story between each of them. But we've all known each other since we were kids. So it's like another one of those things that kind of, I was gifted this band.
Wow. No, it's so great. You guys are amazing. And then Flying Lotus came along, and you put out the record, The Epic, on his label, Brain Feeder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you record that?
We recorded that in December of 2011.
Okay.
And we finished it in March of 2014.
Wow. And I heard it was just a month-long session where you guys would all hold up and wrote and recorded songs?
Yeah, it was a whole month. And we worked on my album. Actually, Miles Mosley has an album coming out in January called The Uprising. And Brandon Coleman's going to be putting a record out this year, 2017
cool.
as well.
And these are all out of that session?
All out of those sessions,
nice.
Yeah.
Because did I read there were like 190 songs out of
the
session?
Yeah, it was like 190
That's
songs.
That's incredible.
It was like a little music sweatshop.
Yeah. And then you ended up with about 45, and you narrowed it down to put out a 3-CD album. There's 17 songs on that record.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? How do you get it down to from 45 to 17?
Any, many, miny, mo. It took a lot. I had to listen to music a lot and people yelling at me, put the record out.
Sure.
Like, but I don't know what songs are going to be on it. Eventually I just kind of like, I found the songs that felt like a family.
Yeah.
That felt like a singular statement.
Did I hear that dreams were involved?
Yeah, there were dreams, nightmares. I was working on a song, Change of the Guard.
Yeah.
And I had this really cool dream. I recorded my album in two different phases. Like we had the month-long sessions with the whole band, and then I recorded string and choir parts on top of those.
Wow.
But I wrote those string and choir parts around what we did kind of in the room on the spur of the moment.
Okay.
And so while I was working on those parts for Change of the Guard, I had this really wild, amazing dream.
Nice.
And it made me want to have dreams for all the other songs. So I started like forcing myself to like imagine something. And
then
over time it turned into this long story that is what kind of made me come to the place where I could.
And you actually did have dreams about the other songs?
I did. I can kind of, that's a
amazing
gift I have. I can kind of force myself to dream.
Wow. And you remember them when you wake up?
If I get up and write them down immediately,
okay.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And did I read that you're also putting together maybe a graphic novel associated
with the album? Yeah.
Cool.
As soon as I can get my computer on and.
Nice. I wanted to ask about the collaboration with Kendrick Lamar. So you play saxophone on the album To Pimp a Butterfly, the amazing album. And how did that come about? How did you hook up with Kendrick?
Well, Terrace Martin, who's actually playing most of the saxophone on the record, I was working on his record, and he heard the string arrangements that I made for my own album.
Okay.
And he was like, man, I need you to come do some stuff for Kendrick's album. And he brought me in. You know, and I went in and, you know, I was originally only supposed to work on one song, but, you know, they ended up playing me the whole record. And, like, every time they played me the record, they asked me to play on another song or write for another song and or, you know, arrange for another song. And so it was, you know, it was one of those things.
Very cool.
A Kendrick spirit between, you know, myself, Terrace Martin, Thundercat.
Sure. Yeah, we were playing the Terrace Martin record here. It's great as well.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah. I heard it was a very secretive session.
You had to like give them your ID, and like, I was like, you know, I got a couple of parking situations. So, as long as you're not going to share that with anyone.
Nice. Well, there seems to be a focus on hip hop and jazz and the connection between the two, maybe more so than in the past. I know it's not new that the two have been associated. In fact, we here at KXP broke down the De La Soul 3 Feet High and Rising album. And played for the entire day, played all the songs that were sampled on that album, and a lot of them were jazz, and that was, you know, several decades ago. But why do you think there's that focus now?
Well, I feel like jazz and hip-hop have always been intertwined, but it was kind of like a secret relationship. And now right, out in the open, you know, like the association between jazz and hip-hop is no longer like an insider thing. It's like it's like out and everyone knows it, which then leads people to kind of recognize it a bit more. But definitely To Pimp a Butterfly used a depth of jazz that I don't think I've ever heard in another record before.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, jazz and hip hop have definitely always been intertwined.
Definitely. Well, I think that your record, The Epic, is a big part of that as well. Just great, great album. I just wanted to ask you, since you've been playing, I think this summer you played Coachella and a few other festivals. What was that like? And did you get a lot of people come up to you who maybe aren't jazz fans, just kind of like going, man, this is amazing?
Yeah. You get a lot of like, this is my first jazz concert. I'm like, nice.
And nice.
And people, I mean, I think that people are into jazz, but they don't really realize they're into jazz. Like, if you're into Stevie Wonder, if you're into James Brown, if you're into Tribe Called Quest, right, you're into jazz, you just don't really realize it necessarily. So they come to our shows and they go like, oh, wow, I love that. It's like, oh, you already loved it. You just, you know, so we're just kind of like, you know, pulling the veil off the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. That's a great point. I had to ask you about this because I read this in one of the articles. You played some gigs at Hollywood's club Bar Sinister. What was that all about?
That was actually with Miles Mosley.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we played everywhere in L.A. I mean, this unit of musicians, we're explorers,
sure,
you know what I mean? And we're not afraid to bring our music anywhere, you know? So I forget exactly how Miles ended up playing at Bar Sinister, but when we got there, it was a scene.
Yeah,
you know?
It was like, that's what it sounded like.
It was straight up a gothic, straight up for sure, like vampire teeth, fake blood, costumes.
Nice.
And we were like, okay, here we go. So who's taking the first solo? And it was one of those things that.
Wow. Sounds like an amazing combination of everything there. I want to go check it out.
Yeah.
Kamasi Washington live here at KEXP. Thank you so much. You got another song to play for us?
Yeah, we're going
to
do the Rhythm Changes.
All right.
Change, they alter, they leave us. matter what happens. The weather, the song, the music, the rhythm. It seems no matter what happens, I'm here. Our glory, won't worry what happened before me. I'm here. We'll be right back. bodies, our feelings, they change, they alter, they leave us somehow, no matter what happens. Season, the weather, the song, the music, the rhythm, it seems, no matter what happens, I'm here. Glory, won't worry what happened before me. I'm here. Our love, our beauty, our genius, our work, our triumph, our glory. Won't worry what happened before me. I'm here.
Incredible. Kumasi Washington live on KEXP. That is from the album The Epic, and the song's called The Rhythm Changes.
Yeah, yeah.
So great. Wow. I love that there's two drummers. I wanted to point that out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sounded great. Have you always worked with two drummers, or is that a recent thing?
That's one of those things that kind of happened. I mean, this band in its full version has a double rhythm section, basically.
Sure, yeah.
Because,
Yeah, because you have a couple bass players.
Yeah. Thundercat normally plays with us. Or
yeah, yeah.
Cameron Graves also joins us. And I did that to... All these musicians are so creative, and being in a rhythm section, you end up kind of toggling between your creative flow and, you know, your kind of responsibilities to the music.
Sure.
So having that extra person allows each person to have more freedom to create. And, you know, like, this band is kind of all about kind of creating and being kind of present in the moment. And that was like the thought process. And same thing for the drummers, like they can switch rhythms and move in a way that allows things to have continuity with discontinuity.
No, yeah, that makes sense. And it all comes together and sounds great.
Oh,
I wanted to ask you so the songs were recorded back in 2011.
Yeah.
What's next? What do you have a lot of songs kind of in the can ready to go?
Yeah. I have like a whole big book full of songs.
Nice.
But we actually went back in the studio in May of this year and recorded some new stuff.
Oh, right on.
And Yeah, and like I said, Miles has a record that's coming out in January.
Okay.
Ronald Bruner Jr., who plays with us a lot, has a record that's coming out in the spring. Brandon Coleman has a record that's coming out in 2017 as well. So
great. There's
going to be a lot of music.
Yeah, we will look forward to all of those releases. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in to KEXP. Playing tonight at the Moore Theater, Kumasi, Washington. Pick up the Epic, and thanks again. I want to thank Alia and Luke and Aaron and Hannah, Kevin Suggs, Reeves, Susan, and Ji Young. Thank you very much. You're listening to 90.3 FM KEXP, streaming worldwide at KEXP.org.
Thank you.